warm homes, God. We ask you to make provision for those who don't have that this morning, God. Make a way, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name this morning, God. We glorify you this morning, God, because it is due, God. We thank you for all that you are in our life, God. We bless and praise your holy and righteous name this morning, God. Oh, God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. We couldn't thank you enough through all our lifetime, God, but we do. We thank you. We lift the highest praise. We give the highest praise, God, given to us. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name, God. Lord, make this edifice, Lord, on the corner in Southwest Philadelphia, God. Help us to be a shining example of your love, of your mercy and your grace, God. Help us, God, to lead someone to you this morning, God. We just thank you this morning, God. Help us, God. Help us to be salt in this earth, God. Help us to be light in this earth, God. We bless your name, God, and we thank you this morning. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. We thank you this morning. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to the Most High God. Glory to your name this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the perfect Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name this morning, God. Lord, we ask you to give traveling mercy to those on their way, God, whether to this house or any other house, God. We ask you, God, to let the train of your robe fill this temple and every house of worship open this morning in your name, God. We bless your name this morning, God. We bless your name this morning, God. We ask you, God, to surround us, God, in these terrible times, God. We ask you to comfort and secure our minds, God. Give us peace, God, a peace that passes all understanding, God, as only you can, God. We know you're able, God. We thank you for that, God. God, go into the halls of government, God. Yes, God, help them to turn their faces to you this morning, God. Help them to seek what is right, God, in the name of Jesus. We need you, Father. Our children are dying. Our men are dying. Our women are dying, God. We need you this morning, God. Help this land to turn its eyes back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name this morning, God, because we know you're able. We know you can do exceedingly abundantly and above all we can ask or think this morning, God. We bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you that for salvation. We thank you, God, that we are safe in your arms this morning, God, and we glorify you this morning. For your love, God, we glorify you for your love, your unending, your undying, your never failing love, God. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. We thank you, God, that you can do any and everything but fail, God, this morning. We bless your name for it this morning, God. We thank you this morning, God. We give you glory this morning, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you this morning, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let everyone in the house say, and I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let everyone say, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Bless your name this morning, God. Bless your name this morning, God. Hey, let's go to our scripture this morning. We're going to go through Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Through 10. Once again, that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Amen. And if you would rest on your feet as we go through the Word of God, excuse me. Amen. Amen. Once again, that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Also we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen, amen, amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious and holy, holy word. Amen. Hey, this morning, what a treat, what a treat. Our sister Leah Reed is coming to us with a selection. As we greeted her this morning, the first thing out of our mouths was, "Ooh, we're looking forward to you singing this morning, Sister Reed." So, amen, Sister Reed, come on and sing for us this morning. Amen. Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah. God is so good, and so we are so grateful for all that he has done and all that he desires to do in each and every one of our lives. And as we think about, you know, we can focus on our situations or we can put our eyes on the Lord, because we know that he is the God who is faithful to perform his word, and that we know that he is the one that will make ways out of no way. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. So he makes a way. The Lord made a way. Hallelujah. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out, and you're watching us now. And when it looks as if we can't win, you wrap us in your arms and step in. And everything we need you supply. You got this in control. And now we know that you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Now we're here, looking back on where we've come from. It's because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you've shown. But your grace was strong enough to pick us up, because you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Oh, 'cause you move mountains. You cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made, 'cause you move mountains. You cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you may. And we're standing here only because you may. And we're standing here only because you made a way.
God for Sister Leah Reed. Thank God for her husband, Brother Joe Reed. I told your mom I want to know the next time Joe's preaching, I'm coming. We're going to simulcast him. He's going to be preaching there, and we're going to play it in both churches. Go get me a Sunday off. Thank God for them and their great faithfulness. Shall we all stand? Let's have prayer, and then we'll turn our attention to the Word of God. Father in heaven, we thank you this Sunday morning, the great privilege we have to gather ourselves together again in the house that bears your name. We thank you that we have this privilege of having our hearts covered by the blood that bears your Son's name. We thank you for this Word of God that gives light to our pathway and provides direction and instructions that we might live in a manner that honor and pleases you and causes us to become more and more like Christ Jesus each and every day. We thank you in advance for what you're about to do. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. With the exception of the verse, Jesus wept, this may be the shortest sermon text I've had my hands on in a long time. 2.5 or 3 verses, okay? And we all know the rule of thumb, the shorter the amount of scripture, the longer the sermon. That's typically how that goes. But the Lord be with you. Hey, we're going to be the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. And then we're just going to add to the witness out of Matthew 12:38, okay? Just a few short passages. Mark 8:11 and Matthew 12:38. Okay. Now I'm going to read out of Mark, but I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And then we'll jump down to the witness in Matthew 12:38. Amen. Again, New Living Translation, it says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him. Testing him, they demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven in order to prove his authority. And when he heard this, Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? He said, I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign. Afterward, he got back in the boat and left them and crossed over to the other side of the lake. Amen. Matthew 12:38 says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater Jonah is here now. Amen. This Sunday morning, you may be seated. This Sunday morning, I want to talk from the subject, signs of Christmas are everywhere. Okay? Signs of Christmas are everywhere. Okay? Including our sanctuary. Amen? Again, we thank God for our hospitality team and decorating committee. They've even done more work. Those elves have been busy. It was nice last Sunday. Now it looks even better. They have done more, but we thank them for their great care of the sanctuary as it prepares us for the sun, for the holiday season. One of the things on this past week, and I do want to thank Deaconess Keisha Curitan for filling in for me on Wednesday night for our prayer and Bible study. She did a wonderful job with a lesson on Advent as we are in the season of Advent. And so I thank her for her assistance and backup. And I had her fill in for me because I was out of town on business. Coming back in the town and actually en route home, I got in late. And so I'm coming home late. And as a result, it's pitch black outside. But one of the things I noticed coming home is that there were lights everywhere. Now, this is juxtaposed to when I left. I left a couple of days earlier, also traveling early in the morning, so it was dark as well. But just a few days before when I left, the neighborhood seemed normal, meaning dark. And the way I go, I take some back roads and different things, and so there was nothing out of the ordinary, okay? But just in a matter of a few days when I returned, going home at night, and again, it being dark, pitch black out, the sky was lit up. The sky was lit up because there were signs of Christmas everywhere. I mean, I wasn't on the main road. I was taking back roads, trying to cut, dip, and dive to get home quicker. And even on the back roads, lights had gone up. Illuminated manger scenes were now in front yards. Christmas trees with flickering lights had now gone up in living rooms and dining rooms. Do you follow what I'm saying? Wreaths were now hanging on the doors of homes throughout the neighborhood, right? And I just said to myself, If I didn't know it was Christmas before, I certainly know now, right? Why? Because there were signs of Christmas everywhere. And then obviously as you get back into the more commercial area, the stores are lit up, the parking lots are lit up, because they want us to know that it's Christmas time. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so in like manner, right? Right. I want you to follow the theme here because the theme will get you to the sermon. So in like manner, there are signs of Christ everywhere. Right. Because the real meaning of Christmas, the real focus of Christmas is, in fact, on Christ Jesus. Right. And so as the world promotes its meaning of Christmas, we too, as believers, ought to also promote our focus in the Christmas season. Not on discounts or buy one, get one free, but rather on Christ and the fact that he has risen from the dead. You follow with me? It's only three verses, right? So you got to pay attention. If you're not off, it's going to be over, right? I'm trying to get you there, right? And so here we go. And so with that introduction, let's turn our attention back to the text. It says here, the Pharisees came out, began to dispute. I like what I read out of the New Living Translation. It says, they began to argue with him, right? Put another way, they came out and picked a fight with him. It's basically what they were doing. They were trying to push him, you know, get him to to go too far and to say something to do. And they did it by asking him this question. They said, hey, we want you to show us a sign from heaven. Right? So they were literally say, we want you to have God do something to prove to us who you really are. Right? That's literally what they're doing. They're saying, hey, if you're who you say you are and all this, have God do something to prove to us who you really are. Right? The skeptical Pharisees demanded further miraculous proof of Jesus's messianic claims. Not content with the countless miracles he had already done, they now demanded some astronomical sign from God himself. Having already given them more than enough proof, Jesus refused to accommodate their spiritual unbelief. Right? He refused to do it because doing it would have never changed their mind. Right? They veiled it. They veiled their heart by saying, hey, give us one more big sign, then we'll believe. We'll get on your team, Jesus, right? But Jesus, knowing their heart and knowing their intent, said, it doesn't matter. Even if I were to do another miracle, your heart would not change, right? Newsflash this holiday season. Not everybody is going to heaven. Okay? Okay, let me help you out. I'm your pastor. I owe you one. Not everyone believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Right? Are you with me on that? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, good, good, good. And even as it is now, so it was then. Even those that lived during the days and eras of Jesus Christ, yet many of them refused to believe who he really was. Okay? And in spite of the countless miracles, in spite of the incredible teaching on the things of God and the revelation of their Old Testament text, in spite of all of that, many Jews still failed to recognize who he really was. Yet, there were signs of Christ all around. Are you with me? Here it is, verse 12. And it says, Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit, and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. The supreme sign verifying his claim to be the Son of God and the Messiah was to be the resurrection. The only sign given to that generation, and also, might I add, to our generation, is the sign of Jonah the prophet. Okay? Matthew 12:39 says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Even as Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, you guys all know that from your Sunday school. Thank God for your parents and grandparents that took you out to Sunday school. We all know that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and remained in that fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And so in like manner will Christ also remain, not in the belly of a fish, but in the belly of the earth for 3 days, right? But we know the story that, as one songwriter put it, that on one Sunday morning, that what? Up from the grave, what? He arose, right? You remember that? A mighty triumph over his foes, right? He arose a victor over the dark domain. It was dark where Jonah was. It was dark where Christ was being in the belly of the earth and being in the bowels of hell itself, yet he rose a victor, right? And now he lives forever with the saints to reign, right? We know the chorus, what? He rose, hallelujah, Christ arose, right? And he arose. And so the question that we've got to go out on this sermon, because it's over, we've uncovered the verses. The last verses, he got in the boat and got out of Dodge, right? They drove him crazy. He said, I'm out of here, right? So the question we asked, and what I'm proposing, is that there are signs of Christmas everywhere. So the question for the church this Sunday, what are the signs of Christ and that he arose? What are the signs that Christ Jesus arose? Okay. Now, you know the story, right? You're right. So here it is. I'm going to run it. Here's the list right here. 6 or 7 of them. The first sign that Christ arose is, in fact, the Roman soldiers. Matthew 28:12 tells us, when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, tell them that his disciples came at night and stole him away while you slept. And if this comes to the ears of the governor, we will appease him and make you secure. The text tells us, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews today, right? The first sign that he arose are the eyewitnesses, are the witnesses to it, that the Roman soldiers who were stationed at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, they were there when the earth shook. They were there when the stone rolled away. They knew that the disciples had not come. But in order to keep the conspiracy going, in order to keep the lie going, they were paid, right, to lie about the sign that Christ had risen. The second sign that Christ rose from the dead is, in fact, the broken seal on the tomb. Matthew 27:66 tells us they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting a guard. After the stone was rolled in place, a rope was stretched across the stone and affixed with wax to each side of the tomb. Then a Roman guard placed his signet ring in the wax, signaling that the sepulcher was officially sealed and contained what was ever reported to be inside. We know the story that when the women arrived at the tomb on that first Sunday, that the stone had been rolled away and the seal had been broken. The broken seal is a sign that Christ is risen. Are you with me this Sunday? Here it is. Here it is. Here's another sign. Another sign that he is risen is the fact that the stone had been moved, right? It was no longer affixed at the opening or the mouth of Joseph's tomb. It was no longer sealed. But when the eyewitnesses came, the stone had now been rolled away. According to theologians and historians, this massive stone could weigh thousands of pounds and took many men, almost 20 men, to roll it in front of the opening to Joseph's tomb. But yet, on the morning that the earth shook, Matthew 28:1-2 tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So the rolled back stone is a sign that what? Christ is risen. Not only that, if we go further, the empty sepulcher is a sign that Christ is risen. Luke 24:2 tells us they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" They told him, they said, "He is not here. He is risen as he said. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." So the empty sepulcher, the empty grave is what? A sign that what? Christ is risen. Are you with me this Sunday? Not only do you have the rolled back stone, not only do you have the empty grave, but then you also have the empty shroud or grave clothes. Am I right about it? John 20:3 tells us, Peter went out and the other disciple with him, and they were heading to the tomb of Jesus. And so they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and Simon Peter went into the tomb, right? And he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Come on, we know the story of the great care taken by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and how they had prepared his body and with oils and with linen had wrapped his body. We know the story that the women came to even add more spices and more cloth strips to his body. But when they got there, the Bible tells us that his body was gone, but there remained empty grave clothes. Am I right about it? The empty grave clothes are a sign that Christ is risen. Here's one that we all remember because of his name is synonymous with it. That is of Doubting Thomas. The scars in his body are a sign that Christ is risen. John 20:26, after 8 days, the disciples were gathered together again, and this time Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and he stood in their midst. That means he entered the room without coming through the door. He had a different kind of body now. He said to his disciples, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here. Look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, Thomas, but rather believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "You are my Lord and my God." He said, "I know he's risen." Why? Because I've seen the nail prints in his hand. I've been an eyewitness to where the spear entered his side, right? We know that the sign of Christ and that he's risen is by the scars that are in his body. Just like Thomas, we will one day also see the scars in his body. We do not have the evidence today, but today we believe by faith that he died, right? And by faith, we believe that God lifted him up again, right? Following the sign of Jonah on the third day, early Sunday morning, up from the grave, our Savior rose from the dead. And then finally, the seventh sign that Christ rose from the dead are, in fact, the infallible proofs provided during his 40-day layover. Most of us, you're lucky you got an hour or two layover. If you're unlucky, you may have to sleep in the airport sometimes. Not mentioning any specific airlines, but sometimes you got to sleep over in the airport, right? Right. Why? Because flights don't get ready. And now you have an unexpected layover. But I'm glad that Jesus had a layover for 40 days. And during that time, it was not unexpected, but he gave more signs that he had been risen. Acts 1 and 3 says, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, having been seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so just like there are signs of Christmas all around us, so too are there signs of the risen Christ all around us. The question today is, will you accept by faith Christ as your personal Savior? Or will you be like the Pharisees and continue to seek another sign? We used to sing a song in the old church. I remember Elder Williams used to sing it all the time. She used to say, what more can he do? He's laid the foundation and he's opened up the way. What more? What other proof must he give that he is in fact the Son of God? No amount of empirical evidence, no amount of physical evidence can convince us. The only way that we can be convinced of Christ's resurrection is by faith. The Hebrew writer tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. The signs of Christ are all around us. He's no longer dead, but he is risen. And if we pursue him by faith, we'll see him as he is. So that's our thought. That's our message for today. Many folks will say, no, there are no signs of the risen Christ. Why? Because they cannot be perceived. We'll get to it in a couple weeks. He tells his disciples, having eyes to see, you cannot see. Having ears to hear, you cannot hear. Why? Because these things cannot be assessed or grasped or understood by natural or human perception. They must be perceived by faith. The Pharisees didn't need another sign because their heart was already set on unbelief. Neither do we require another sign because now if we're going to believe, it can only be by faith. And so wherever you are today, if you have not accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, stop seeking a sign. All you need to believe is that little Bible story that you learned in Sunday school about Jonah and the great fish. That story is a foreshadowing of the coming resurrection of the Son of God. And even as Jonah was in a watery grave, so Christ was in an earthly grave. But even as he told us, he said, no man takes my life, but I have the power to lay it down and to prove who I really am. When I'm ready, I will pick it up again. I just want to remind you that he died for you. For you. He died for us. And he rose again so that we might be able to see the signs of Christ everywhere. Everywhere we go, everything we do, there are signs of the risen Savior. Shall we all stand? We thank God for this time of year, as it does draw our attention to the birth of Christ. But we thank God for this message today because it reminds us that it was the death and resurrection of Christ that brought our liberty. The Bible tells us that by his stripes, we were healed and made whole. Father in heaven, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for taking your life up again. Thank you for doing it according to your word, after the order of the prophet Jonah. 3 days, you did exactly what you said you would do. So, Father, quicken in us the heart, the faith to believe. Stir our mortal bodies by your Holy Spirit. Cause our minds to be changed by your infallible word. Open our eyes to see. Give us ears to hear the signs of Christ that are all around us. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. And all of God's people said amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Good. By faith, the faith of a mustard seed. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, it's offering time in the tabernacle. Ooh, that was so pitiful. Ooh, that was so pitiful. It is offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can give either of three ways here in the tabernacle, via online, via our website, or via U.S. mail. And now we have Venmo. I'm not sure if Cash App is up and running just yet. Amen. You can give by texting the code Taylor61 to the phone number at 73256. You will receive a link on giving instructions. You can also give via our website, taylortabernacle.com/giving, and follow those instructions as prompted. You can also give via U.S. mail. Please send your check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19139. Please do not send cash through the U.S. mail. And lastly, through Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. Amen. For those in the sanctuary, you can give to my right in the bins provided in the window as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you so much for your support to and for this ministry. Amen. Our Deacon Todd is going to come now and give us the morning announcements. And immediately following that, you will hear the voice of our pastor for benediction. Amen.
Amen. Everybody hear me? Amen. Isn't it nice that static didn't come in when we were getting the word? Amen. 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 So with our announcements, the pastor and the leadership team, we would like to thank you for joining us, for those who are in the sanctuary, and for those who are participating online. For those who are on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. For those on Facebook, hit the follow-ups on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you're informed and so that you're always up to date and so you can participate with us every week. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here are a few announcements. Announcement number one, today, December 11th, there is a miracle on 26th Street. It's an afternoon of dance. The shows are at 2:15 and 4:15 p.m. at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632-34 North 26th Street, Philadelphia, PA. It's a $5 donation. If you still need to call over there for details, call 215-287-7024. Amen? Amen. Amen. On December 1st, a special PBS. Amen? Prayer and Bible. The pastor is asking us all to join and give a one-minute praise report. The focus is on those who have been added to our prayer list throughout the year. Amen? Amen. So we all know how the Lord has been working, right, in the lives of us and of others. Amen? Amen. Sunday, December 25th. Anybody know what that is? Woo-hoo! Anyway, Sunday, December 25th. You know what's special that's going to happen that day? That's right, church. We still get a good word. Amen? Amen. So join our pastor and the first lady Christmas morning. The service will be at 10 a.m. Make sure you log in on what? Facebook or YouTube Live. Amen? Amen. 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 January 1st. What's that? New Year's Day. And guess what? We're going to have service. Amen. Amen. You're going to join the pastor and the first lady for our annual New Year's Day communion service. It'll be at 10 a.m. And then after that, we will have a potluck style meal afterwards upstairs. The first lady is asking every family to contribute something to the meal. Please contact Sister Barbara or Sister Anita for items on the list. All right. So that we don't get like 8 plates of macaroni and cheese, right? But we get some variety. Amen? Amen. January 8th. Join YLE for the kickoff of our new virtual Sunday school. Amen? 8:30 a.m. via Google Meets. There's going to be 3 classes. It'll be the primary class, ages 4 to 8. The juniors, ages 9 to 12. And what comes after that? Our team, ages 13 to 17. Be ready, because I'm teaching you. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to have a good old time discussing the word and learning. Amen? Please contact Sister Christina for your child's classroom assignment and log in information for those 3 different classes. Amen? Last thing I want to cover is joining the pastor and the nonprofit group Alliance of Trust on a weekend trip to Auburn, Alabama. So first, they'll be watching the Auburn University men's basketball take on Mississippi State University in an SEC matchup. But the other great thing is that this trip would include stops to historic Black history locations in Selma, Tuskegee, and Atlanta. And that's very important. There's an itinerary. I don't know if it's posted or if you can log in and get it, because I won't read through it. But understand this. It is important to go see the places you read about. One of the things that's so significant for those of us who are in Philadelphia is every once in a while you'll be down at Fifth and Market and see Independence Hall and go, all this started right there. All that stuff you saw in the books. Well, all the things you've seen as far as civil rights, you know, the Rosa Parks bus and everything that's going on and some of the things that are going on in our nation's history. If you have an opportunity, join the pastor on this trip. Amen? Amen. If you can't find the information and need more information, reach out to us. It's always in our announcements on the website, 215-748-4578. Go to our website, say, contact me. I need to know some more information so that we can get it to you. Amen? Our history is important. All right? Let me just hear that in the word. If you really listen to the word, what? The history of our Lord is important for us to understand who he is. The history of what's happened in this nation is important for us. Amen? Amen. With that, I am going to step aside and call back out our pastor for our benediction.
Or actually a praise report before pastor comes up. We have one of our praise reports sitting right in our sanctuary. Our sister Janice Milbourne is here. Her operation was successful, and we are happy to have her in the house this morning. Amen.
And amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being out with us. And that is really a foretaste of what we'll have on December 21st. As you know, when we gather on Wednesday night, we always read through that prayer list and add to it. Well, we're coming up on the end of the year, and we actually want to start taking some names off the list. And the way you do that is you give a testimony to what God has done, right? So we thank God for you doing that. Look, getting us started, right? So that we'll be ready for the 21st. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. So glad to hear that God is doing great things in your life. Fantastic. Wonderful to see you both here today. With that being said, I did just want to add to the footnote about this afternoon. If you didn't know, our sister Noah Abrams is dancing in that. So it's not just a dance recital, but Sister Noah Abrams will be dancing in that at the Open Door Baptist Church. To keep up with her parents, she's dancing all over Philadelphia. And if you were watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade here in Philadelphia, she was one of the dancers in the Thanksgiving Day Parade. So this young lady, her star is rising. And we just thank God for the wonderful things that she is doing. With that being said, shall we all stand? Again, thank you for being here on this Sunday. We do want to caution you on the way home. They are calling for rain and sleet. So just be careful on our way home as we depart this place and return to our homes, whether we're going to work or not. We just want to be careful. So what? We'll have an opportunity to gather again in this sacred place on next Sunday. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time of friendship. And we thank you for this time of comfort in and by the Word of God. Your Word provides light to our footsteps, and it guides us on the road and pathway that we ought to take and the manner of lifestyle we ought to live. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. We give you glory for living inside of us and giving us the power to do all that Christ has commissioned us to do. So now as we depart this place, Father, go with us, stand by us, stand up strong in the life and in the heart of believers everywhere. Continue to heal our bodies, continue to renew our minds, and continue to cause us to be lights in this dark world. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody in Taylor Nation say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor. See you next Sunday.